Now, let me very briefly describe the roles, the functions, which Dr. Cohen already has presented, that a traditional mythology presents, and see how much of this remains to us in our life today. The first function is that which I call the mystical one, of awakening in the individual a sense of awe and mystery and gratitude for the ultimate mystery of being. In the old traditions, the very old ones, the accent was on saying yea to the world as it is. That's not easy. You look at the world and you see creatures eating each other, killing each other, and you realize the image of life is something that eats itself. And you may have the feeling that some have had, that this is just too horrible, I will not cooperate, I will not play. This I call the great reversal. It comes along about the 6th century BC, the Buddha, all life is sorrowful, there is escape from sorrow. Schopenhauer's word, life is something that should not have been. I won't play. Okay, pull out. Two main attitudes, affirmation of this horrific thing beyond good and evil, or negation. A third way was announced in Zoroastrianism in the idea of two deities, a good and an evil, one who represented truth, light, and the other that represented darkness and the lie. And the good deity created a good world, and the evil deity corrupted that world. So that the world that we're in is a corrupt world. And there is a contest going on between the powers of light and the powers of darkness. And you are invited to participate in this battle, and join the battle of the light against the battle of darkness, and reconstitute the good world. This is the sort of progressive view. And as far as I've been able to find, these are the three views that there are. One, the total affirmation. You get a marvelous saying of this in one of the Buddhist aphorisms. This world just as it is, with all its horror, all its darkness, all its brutality, is the golden lotus world of perfection. And if you don't see it as such, it's not the world's fault. You can't improve what is perfect. You can only see it, and so come to your own perfection. That's to say, come to that depth in yourself, which is deeper than the pains and sorrows. You have deities named by Ravananda, the bliss and ecstasy of terror. That's what life is, a terrible, terrible ordeal. The other way is purity. I am so spiritual, I will go through the sun door and not participate in this darkness of the lunar cycle at all. And you won't see me back. The third is, let's get in there and improve it. This is like marrying someone in order to improve the person. I don't call this affirmation, and it usually puts you in the position of being a little bit superior. If God had only asked me, I could have given it to you. Now, the second function is to present a universe through which the mystery, as understood, will be present. So that everywhere you look, it is, as it were, a holy picture, opening up in back to its mystery. The work of the artist is to present objects to you in such a way that they will shine this way. That's what the artist is doing. So that through the rhythm of his formation, the object that you have looked at with indifference will be radiant and you will be fixed, aesthetic arrest. Well, in our society today, in our cosmology today, we have a prodigious universe, which isn't matched at all by the little kindergarten thing that we have in our religious tradition. Think of the moon walk. To me, this is the most important mythological event of the century. Mythological in that it transforms before everybody's eyes all the fundamental bases for mythological thinking. In all earlier periods, the notion was that these lights, the moon, Mercury, Mars, Venus, and all these, represent the radiance of a higher mode of being, much higher than this poor, miserable earth. When Galileo recognized that the laws of ballistics on this earth are the laws that operate in the planets, he began something which came to fulfillment and culmination in these moonwalks. I remember the trip before the first moonwalk, when they circled the moon and were coming back, the astronauts, I've forgotten which ones they were now, were asked, who's navigating? And the answer they gave was, Newton. And to me, this was one of these great statements that you don't often hear. Kant asked the question, how is it that I can, this is in his Introduction to Metaphysics, that I can make mathematical calculations in this space here, which I know with apodictic certainty will be valid in that space over there. How is it that I can be so sure of the continuity of space that the laws which my head can evolve, I know will be valid? When it came to going down onto the moon, nobody knew how deep the dust was going to be. I'll never forget that first foot coming down. It was a terrific moment. Man on the moon. Nobody knew what it was going to be like. But they did know just how many ounces of energy to emit from those jets to bring that craft back within a mile of the boat that was waiting for it in the Pacific Ocean. In other words, the laws of space and energy were precisely known to man and are the laws within our own heads. Our heads, the laws of time and space and causality are in us, and anything we can see or know anywhere will involve those laws. Think of now what the universe is. Space, and out of space a coagulation that becomes a nebula. And out of the nebula, millions of galaxies. And out of this constellation of galaxies, a sun with our little planet, which has come out of that. And then out of the earth have come we, as the eyes and the consciousness and the ears and the breathing of the earth itself. We're earth's children. And since the earth itself came out of space, is it any wonder that the laws of space live in us? There's this wonderful matching. And it's not as though God had breathed anything into us. The gods we know are projections of our own fantasies, our own deep consciousness, our own deep being. They are our match, in a way. Well, this is another mythology, another cosmology. Every time you look at the moon now, think about it that way, and you'll have another experience.